ever try to track a butterfly.
Yeah.
Like really track it.
I can imagine that'd be pretty tough.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, right?
Yeah.
Well, imagine tracking thousands of them
Oh, wow.
across an entire island.
Okay.
That's what we're doing today. That's what
Okay.
this research paper is all about.
Got it.
And the findings, they might just change the way we think about butterflies,
Interesting.
especially how they move.
Okay, well, this is right up my alley then. This sounds like some really fascinating research.
Oh, it is. And I'm glad you're here because it gets pretty in-depth.
Great.
So before we get into the nuts and bolts,
Okay.
let's meet the stars of the show.
Okay.
We've got three different butterfly species at the heart of this study,
Three. Okay.
all threatened
Right.
and all found in different types of grasslands.
Okay.
So we've got the Marsh Fritillary,
Okay.
we've got the
Which
Apollo.
is a beauty, by the way.
Oh yeah, striking,
Yeah.
black and white.
And a very distinctive.
And then we've got the Large Blue,
Okay.
which is famous
Famous for.
for its life cycle.
Oh, right.
It involves ants.
Yeah, it's a really unique relationship they've got going on.
Super interesting stuff, and
We'll dive into
we'll
them.
get into that for
Okay,
sure.
cool.
But it's important to note that the researchers didn't just study these butterflies anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they picked a very unique location,
Oh, okay.
the island of Gotland
Gotland.
in the Baltic Sea.
Okay, Gotland. That rings a bell. I think I've heard of it.
Butterfly paradise.
Yes. That's it. I knew it sounded familiar.
Yeah.
It's like a haven for these species.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, unlike a lot of places, a lot of fragmented habitats, Gotland has these vast areas of grassland all connected.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking some of the highest population densities for these butterflies anywhere in the world.
Oh, wow.
So it makes it a perfect natural laboratory
Yeah, that makes
to
sense.
study their movements.
So if you want to study butterflies on a large scale, you need a large scale landscape. You need to let them stretch their wings, so to speak.
I like that. I like that.
But I have to ask,
Yeah.
how do you track thousands of butterflies across an entire island?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, were they out there with like butterfly nets and tiny little GPS trackers?
Well, it's actually a pretty classic technique. It's
Okay.
called capture mark recapture.
Catchy.
Yeah.
I like
CMR.
CMR.
They divided this massive 60 square kilometer area.
Well, not 60 square kilometers. That's
Yeah.
huge.
Picture more than 14,000 football fields
Oh my God.
into a grid, and they meticulously captured,
Wow.
marked, and released butterflies
Wow. Over how long?
over several years.
Wow. And you said 60 square kilometers. That's
It
unbelievable to
was a
me.
massive undertaking for sure.
That's incredible. I mean,
Yeah.
the dedication of these researchers, I
It's
mean,
impressive,
it's
right?
amazing. So we're talking about a massive study area, thousands of butterflies, years of data collection. I mean, they must have needed all of that to really get a good understanding of butterfly movement, right?
Exactly. And what really surprised them was how far these butterflies can actually travel.
Really? I always thought butterflies just kind of stuck around the same area, you know, like they had their favorite patch of flowers and just kind of fluttered around there.
Yeah, that's a common misconception. People don't realize how mobile they can be.
So how far are we talking here? Like, how far did they actually travel?
Well, even the large blue, which is usually considered a pretty sedentary
Right.
species,
Okay.
was recorded traveling up to 2.5 kilometers.
2.5 kilometers. Wow, that's a long way for a butterfly.
It is. If you think about it, that's like a butterfly traveling the length of 25 football fields.
That's a lot of football
Sure
fields.
is.
Wow, so what about the other species? Were they also racking up the butterfly miles?
Oh, yeah. They were even more impressive. The Marsh Fritillary, they had a maximum recorded distance of 7.2 kilometers.
Seriously.
And the Apollo came in at 6.4 kilometers.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really challenges what we thought we knew about these species, especially in these large, less fragmented landscapes like Gotland.
That's amazing. So it sounds like these butterflies are a lot more adventurous than we give them credit for.
They are, but they weren't just randomly flying around.
Right. Of course, there had to be some method to the butterfly madness. So how did they figure out the patterns behind their movement?
Well, to understand these patterns, they use something called dispersal kernels.
Dispersal kernels.
Yeah, it sounds complicated, but imagine a map that shows you where a butterfly is most likely to go based on where it started.
Okay.
That's basically what a dispersal kernel is. It helps us visualize the probability of a butterfly's movement.
So it's like a probability map for butterfly travel.
Exactly.
That's so cool. So by using these dispersal kernels, they were able to see trends in the data and test different theories about what was influencing the butterfly's movements.
Right. And one of the biggest aha moments came when they looked at population density.
Population density, like how many butterflies were in a certain area.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. So it sounds like maybe butterflies, just like humans, might need a little bit of personal space sometimes.
It seems that way. They found that the more crowded a butterfly's neighborhood was, the more likely it was to pack up and move.
Interesting.
So more butterflies in an area meant more movement away from that area. They call this positive density-dependent emigration.
Okay, so too much competition, time to find a new place to settle down.
Exactly. But here's the interesting part. They also found the opposite to be true. When an area had a lower butterfly population, it was more likely to attract butterflies from elsewhere.
Oh, so it works both ways.
Yeah, it's like butterflies are always looking for those up-and-coming neighborhoods.
That's fascinating. It's like this balancing act, isn't it? Finding that sweet spot between too much competition and not enough resources. But I imagine it's not just about the total number of butterflies in an area, right? I mean, males and females probably have different priorities when it comes to choosing a good spot to live. Did the study look at that at all?
Yeah, it really makes you think about all the factors that go into choosing where to live, right?
It does. And it gets even more interesting when you start to look at the differences between males and females.
Right. We were talking about population density and how that influences movement. But I imagine males and females probably have different priorities when it comes to finding a good place to settle down. What did the researchers find out about that?
They found that, in general, females were way more likely to stay put in a particular area.
Really?
While males were more prone to wandering.
So the ladies like to stay home and the fellas like to roam around a bit.
It's like the butterfly version of that, yeah. And it was much more pronounced in the females.
Okay, so the females are the homebodies in this scenario. It seems that way, yeah. They actually call this site faithfulness.
Site faithfulness.
Yeah.
I like it. Makes sense though, right? I mean, when you think about it, females usually invest more energy in reproduction.
Exactly.
So finding a good spot with plenty of resources and just sticking around, yeah, that makes a lot of sense from an evolutionary standpoint.
It's all about ensuring the survival of the next generation.
Exactly. And the males, well,
they're more interested in sowing their wild oats, so to speak.
Huh. So the males are out there trying to find as many mating opportunities as possible.
Exactly. More movement equals more chances of encountering females.
Makes sense. And, you know, it's not just about finding any habitat. It's about finding the right habitat.
Yeah.
Especially for those females who are carrying the next generation of butterflies. And speaking of the future, all of this research has some big implications for conservation, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if we want to protect these threatened species, we need to understand how and why they move.
Right, because we can't just focus on, like, preserving these tiny, isolated pockets of habitat, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have to think bigger, more connected landscapes.
So they need room to roam.
They do. We need to create corridors that allow movement between populations.
That's like building butterfly highways.
I love that analogy. That's exactly what we need to be doing.
That's so cool.
And we can't forget about those sex-based differences either. It means protecting areas where females are more likely to be found, like prime breeding areas, becomes even more important.
It's like a whole new way of looking at conservation, isn't it?
It is. It really highlights the complexity of protecting these creatures.
It's not just about planting more flowers.
Definitely not. We have to understand how these intricate little creatures interact with their environment, with each other, all of it.
Well, I think it's safe to say we've learned a lot today.
I've learned a lot.
It's fascinating to see how much information they were able to glean from this study.
Yeah, and like with any good research, this study raises even more questions.
Oh, like what?
Well, for example, remember how the large blue was recovering from a drought during this study?
Right, right.
Makes you wonder if that might have affected its movement patterns.
Oh, interesting. So butterflies might be even more mobile when resources are scarce.
Exactly. It's a question worth exploring.
It really is. So much to think about. It makes you realize just how much we still don't know about these amazing creatures.
That's the beauty of science, though, right? There's always something new to discover.
Always more to learn. Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up our deep dive into the secret world of butterfly movement. Hopefully you all enjoyed the journey.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great to be here.
We'll have to do it again sometime. And for all of you listening out there, keep those questions coming because the world of science is full of mysteries just waiting to be solved. Until next time.